This program is brought to you by Chefs Collaborative, a nonprofit with a mission to inspire, educate, and celebrate chefs and food professionals building a better food system. Change menus, change lives. Learn more at chefscollaborative.org.
Thank you for listening to Heritage Radio Network. We are a member-supported nonprofit food radio station. That means that every single thing we do, from broadcasting 35 weekly shows for free, to bringing you exclusive content from sold-out food events across the country, to offering scholarships to high school students, is only possible thanks to the support of our loyal members. And we want you to join the club. Become a member during our 2017 summer drive to get access to sweet swag and pledge your support to the world's only food radio station. Visit heritageradionetwork.org/donate to become a member now.
Well, hello. Welcome to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Sherry Bayer. We are coming to you live from Roberta's at Bushwick, Brooklyn. It is Wednesday, June 28th, 2017, and this is the 145th episode of the series, which is dedicated to behind-the-scenes talents in the hospitality industry. Today, my guest is a top eventiste and designer of festivities, and I will introduce her fully in a moment. First, as I do on every show, I will start out with my PR tip, and then later we will have my speed round game, industry news discussion, solo dining experience, and the final question. As the founder of Bayer Public Relations, I'm going to tip the show off with my PR tip of the week. So today's tip is to surround yourself with beautiful things. Take a look around you, your office, your home, your wardrobe. Does everything make you happy and put a smile on your face? If the answer is yes, then great. And if it's not, maybe it's time to do a little cleanup. Multiple studies suggest that there is a correlation between less clutter and productivity. Prettier, handsome things lead to happier and more productive lives. So allow beauty to soothe your soul and bring you joy. That's my tip today. Now, I'm very excited to have my guest on the show. It is Marcy Bloom, an internationally sought event planner and entertaining expert who, with 30 years' experience, crafts events with sanity, humor, innovation, and style. Her past guests include individuals listed on Forbes 100, professional athletes including LeBron James, and award-winning actors, Grammy-winning singers, and the Rockefeller family. A graduate of the Culinary Institute of America, Marcy has not only been named a top planner in the world by both Vogue and Harper's Bazaar, but she's also been featured in countless publications, including People, The New York Times, and Vanity Fair, and has made numerous TV appearances on shows including Oprah, The Today Show, and Good Morning America. So she is calling in today. Hello, Marcy, are you there?
Hi, Sherry. I'm here.
Great. Hi.
Hi, honey. Sorry I couldn't make it out there. I was trying, but my client came first.
Hey, work calls. I totally get it. I'm glad you can still do the show and
yes,
we can make this work.
So free and clear.
Yeah, just sorry I don't get to see you in person because it has been a while.
Yes, I know.
But I like to start out with my guests and find out how they got into the industry and doing what they do. So do you want to start a little with your background and,
sure.
and how you ended up going
sure.
to the CIA?
I graduated the Performing Arts High School, you know, the original FAME. I was an actress, and being 1970, I moved to Vermont with a lot of friends and tried to figure out what to do, and I was basically the cook for our big farm. And I did that for a couple years until it fell apart, and I came back to New York and didn't know what I wanted to do, and my brother and his girlfriend at the time were living in Paris. So I went and took a summer course in Cordon Bleu and lived with them, and I loved it. My mother was an extraordinary cook. And I came back to New York and took what in those days were considered housewife cooking classes. And I took a lot of courses from John Clancy, who had written all the Test Kitchen books for, you know, Time Life Foods of the World series and other things. And I, the Culinary Institute of America had, I believe they were sued and they had to take women. And I was in the first class of women accepted. So
oh,
I
wow.
went up there for 2 years.
That's that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, because my, so next week I'm going to be airing a show that I just did an interview last week with Tim Ryan, the president of the CIA. So I was
Tim
up
Ryan
there.
Tim Ryan was the intern. Tim and Lynn will tell you, we laugh. He was the intern. He was still a student intern in the Escoffier restaurant, the term I graduated. So that's how long Tim and I have known each other.
Wow. Yeah, no, he worked his way up. I mean, he was a graduate of the school. No, it's a small world, but yeah.
I love them. He's a great guy. I'm very fond of both he and his wife. Yeah, it's a smart, great school.
Yeah, no, I agree. And so many changes have happened at the Institute since then. So, okay, so you graduated and then what happened?
So then I went and I became I was a food consultant. I was a cooking teacher at both Macy's and Gimbel's. Gimbel's doesn't exist, obviously, anymore. And I was consulting for a couple of friends of my brothers who are opening restaurants in Soho. I was just doing a little bit of everything and sous chefing, and I really was not happy. And a friend introduced me to a gentleman who was opening a bunch of restaurants, and he hired me as a consultant. And I wound up... over the years, I've hired all the food people and the events team, and then we wound up having 6 or 7 or 8 restaurants, and I wound up marrying him. We're no longer married, but we're still best friends. His name is Peter Ashkenazi. So we had Luchow's, we had Gage and Tolner, we had the original Charlio's we bought from Joe Baum, and several other restaurants in Midtown. And I started doing the events in the restaurants, and then people would ask me if I could do events outside of the restaurants. That's what happened.
Wow, I did not know that background. That's how you got in, or that's how you started.
Yeah. Yep.
So then, did you then open your own company, or did you ever work for another agency doing event planning?
I worked for Peter for many years, way before we were together, and we did a lot of off-premise catering. And events off-premise when Ed Koch was mayor. He was a dear friend of my family's and Peter's. And so we did many events at Gracie Mansion and kind of segued. But I put a little bitty ad in the back of New York Magazine at the time when nobody knew what a wedding planner was. Everyone thought it meant catering. And Women's Wear Daily picked it up. This is now, 30 years ago, 32 years ago. And I had a business.
And there you have it. So did you start out then doing weddings, or did it lead into weddings?
Mostly corporate events.
Okay.
Mostly corporate events, because I was working, let's say we had Luchow's, we had like 6 banquet spaces, so I was doing so many corporate events and luncheons and things that was my first clientele, you know, closing dinners for, they used to call them tombstone parties when like they would close a big account. And so I started doing small parties and some parties for PR firms who wanted maybe food and wine tastings or things of that nature. And I became very good friends with someone who is still a dear friend and is one of my mentors, Barbara Tober, who was the editor-in-chief of Brides Magazine for 30 years. And Donald and Barbara are very involved in the culinary also. And she started recommending me to people, and I got a couple of big fancy jobs. Weddings. Yeah,
and then it grew, obviously. so how many people are in your company now? How has the company grown over the years?
It grows and it ebbs and flows. So, you know, there was a time many years ago I had more people working for me and I was probably doing fewer events and making less money. So we do, all of us rely on a cadre of freelancers for sure. So there are 4 of us full-time. We only do, you know, maybe 15 events a year max of all different sizes.
Oh,
so
really?
If we have 2 giant events, it'll be fewer than 15 events a year because we're very, very, very hands-on. I mean, we do, if it's a wedding, we'll do the dress shopping with the bride and the tuxedo shopping with the grooms or vice versa. And we will do really, really everything. So, and if it's a corporate event, you know, whatever is entailed in that. We don't farm out a lot of things. So, so there's four of us, as I said, you know, full time, and then we're doing a wedding in Amalfi in September. We'll have, you know, five people with us who are not full time but who work for us all the time freelance.
Oh, I didn't realize you. Well, I knew you were select, but I didn't realize you did only a limited amount of events. And you, so with your services with Amalfi, are you say you do everything? You helping find the location, the
everything.
You booking
for the location, you know, to the food and beverage is a 4-day event. There'll be food, and we'll do, you know, one night is a truffle festival, and another night will be at in Capri at Fondolina Club, and another day, you know, then we'll have an Italian picnic on the beach. And so each and every aspect of it, from the decor, which we don't do ourselves, but we will be sourcing the people and helping with the design, and the lighting and the transportation and the fun parts and the not so fun parts.
Isn't it all fun? No.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Well, there's,
we
I think with event
late at night after we both worked late, you and I. So yeah.
Yeah, well,
much fun. Uh-huh.
I think with event planning, it requires so much detail. I mean, you have to be really detail oriented to
yes.
And so many decisions. So it's obviously a skill set that you have, and I think your background is incredible to be able to plan events for other people. I had read that your signature style is finding your client's signature style.
Oh, thank you.
So how do you do that? Which is great. Like how do you figure it out?
You know, I mean, I've known you for a long time. I think, you know, in the sense we're similar people, in the sense that we are, let's say, we're fairly intuitive about people to begin with, mm-hmm. right? So, and then after that, so there are certain, I mean, I happen to be in an invitation place at the moment, an invitation designer studio. And I brought my clients here because there's a particular artistry and elaborateness and attention to detail, as you said, which is something that I know this particular client would really appreciate, and because they want something custom and precise and bespoke. And whereas another client of mine, they would consider this such overkill or so like ridiculously like extravagant. If I brought them to this place, they would think that I didn't understand who they are.
Right.
You know, because it's not something that is on their radar at all. They don't care. I mean, they'd like it to be pretty, but it doesn't have to be this. So that's part of it. You have to figure out, instead of, you know, using yourself as the template and laying yourself on top of everybody, you have to figure out what their template is and then figure out how to source it, how to make it work.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I find for me with clients, every client is different. And even though I've been doing restaurant PR or PR for a long time, it
right.
keeps it exciting and interesting and challenging for me because every client's different. So
exactly.
I would imagine it's the same for you. Like you know,
that's
you
right.
have your go-to sources and places, but everyone's different with their preferences.
Right.
So, right. Okay.
I want them to learn. And one more thing, you know, which I know, I don't mean to sound arrogant. I don't know how else to say it, but I want to embolden them or enable them, you know, for those who are less experienced. I mean, people who are getting married and they're younger or they're just throwing their first party. I want to give them the tools to know how to host a party, because it's something everyone should have in their toolkit, right? So, and it doesn't happen overnight or naturally. My mother was a great hostess and a fabulous cook. You know, even middle class Jews from the Bronx, she threw a great dinner party. You know, she just did. And if my uncle drank one kind of scotch and she had another friend coming and drank another kind of scotch, she would have the two different kinds of scotches. And that's how I was raised. So, but not everybody was raised that way.
No,
so I want to explain, like, what hospitality is.
Yeah, so you're also teaching, educating your guests along the way, which is fabulous.
Yeah.
Terrific. Okay, so we're going to take a little break here, and then we're going to come back and talk some more. So, yeah, hold on and listen to our little sponsorship ad, and we'll be right back.
This program is brought to you by Chefs Collaborative, a national nonprofit network with a mission to inspire, educate, and celebrate chefs and food professionals building a better food system. Chefs Collaborative members work to make sustainable practices second nature for every chef in the United States. Chefs Collaborative was founded in 1993 by visionary chefs including Rick Bayless and Alice Waters, who acknowledged the influential role of food professionals on our food choices, our collective personal health, the vitality of cultures, and the integrity of the global environment. Chefs Collaborative believes that the greater culinary community can be a catalyst for positive change by expanding the market for good food and helping to preserve local farming and fishing communities. Change menus, change lives. Learn more about Chefs Collaborative at chefscollaborative.org.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Chow.
And I'm Amanda Dell.
And we're the host of Recommended Reading with Food Book Fair on Heritage Radio Network. Recommended Reading is a show where we talk about what we're reading, listening to, and watching in the world of food media, between ourselves as well as with our special guests in and around the food world.
Support Recommended Reading and all of Heritage Radio Network's programming by going to heritageradionetwork.org and clicking on the beating heart, and you can become a member today.
Welcome back to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Sherry Bayer. My guest today is Marcy Bloom of Marcy Bloom Associates. She is a top eventiste and designer of festivities. She's worked with many celebrities. So I want to know, what is it, how is it working with celebrities? Is it more difficult? Is it more exciting? Is it just the same?
Well, you know, it's usually not the celebrity that's the issue. It's usually their team that are much crazier than they can ever be. I think they thrive on playing good cop, bad cop, so they can dump it on them. Maybe that's why they have these teams. But the team is usually much more difficult. I would say that, you know, I've worked with some extraordinarily, wonderfully kind people, including, you know, Billy Joel and LeBron James and Andre Iguodala and Karen, I'm losing my mind with his sister, you know, Kevin Bacon and Kira Sedgwick. Mm-hmm. I mean, really extraordinary people, just good people who happen to have gotten famous. And then I've worked with other people I won't mention who, you know, are just horrible.
Yeah. I hear you. What have been some of the most memorable events that you've done? Or that come to mind?
I would say, you know, certainly Katie Lee and Billy Joel's wedding several years ago, even though they're no longer married, it was a great wedding. I mean, Katie is an extraordinarily talented chef and cook and entertainer and hostess. And so it was all about food and music, my two favorite things. Couldn't have been better than that. LeBron and Vanna's wedding was fantastic because, first of all, I was in awe, and they had just won MVP. He had just mm-hmm. won the MVP, so everyone was, you know, on a big high, and it was out in California, and it was fantastic. And they're just very kind, interesting people. I love his wife. I've done some fantastic. We do a haunted house party every year for a wonderful client who invites 40 people, and we do a different theme every year, and it's the most extraordinary people like go to theatrical costume designers to have their things made, and it's just beyond. Four-day wedding in Croatia, a birthday party. We did several birthday parties for an older gentleman around the world last year, you know, like 8 birthday parties. That each one is in Budapest, one's in London, one is in Paris, one is, you know, that was pretty extraordinary. Yeah, I've had a lot of fun, too.
I'm sitting here thinking, if anyone is invited to any of your events and needs a plus one, please let me know.
I'll let you know. You can come sit in the back of the house with me and help bustle.
No, I'm sure they're... Yeah, right. Thank you. They're all, I mean, they just... I'm sure... I know they're extraordinary events and a lot of fun and, you know, making people happy on what they want, you know, to celebrate.
Yeah,
so what or is there, do you have any crazy stories of something that's happened, like I don't know, that something you had to fix, like some, I don't know, within, I'm always thinking, like,
well,
outdoor weddings
something.
Or the weather,
I mean,
always.
You know, I became a legal officiant last year because of all the times that the celebrant almost didn't show up. I couldn't take it anymore, just in case. We're working on very special wedding for next week, which is going to be a 3-day sleepaway camp wedding for two beautiful women. And we're having 200 guests at a sleepaway camp.
Oh, that's fun.
Where we're having games and color war and all sorts of things. I've had some pretty wacko clients. So yeah, it's been fun.
Let me ask you my question I had from my guest in episode 144. I had on Mark Oldman. He's a wine expert. You probably know Mark, I imagine. Mm-hmm. He has a new book out, How to Drink Like a Billionaire. So
I'll have to buy that. That sounds very interesting. Okay, I will buy that. Good.
Oh, good. I made a sale for him, and the book's great. It's tons of tips for wine. I think there's a lot of content. I think you'll like it.
Great. I will go buy it. I like good,
okay,
succinct content. Digestible. Yes.
Yeah. So he wants to know, how do you advise wedding clients when it comes to their wine selections in order to economize what they're spending? He noted that he gets asked a lot by even like the wealthiest people just how to figure out to have a more affordable wine list for occasions.
Well, first you have to look, and this is what people don't understand, civilians, you have to look at wherever it is that you're getting married or hosting the party and see what the rules are. Some places, you have to order the wine from them. Other places, if it's an off-premise catering situation and you're hiring an off-premise caterer and it's not, their liquor license per se, they will let you buy your own wines and bring them in. Or some places, where it is their liquor license and it is their wine list, they will order it for you or allow you to bring it in and they'll charge you a corkage charge. So you have to get all the rules down first. And the rules vary for each venue and each caterer and each banquet manager. So that's the first thing. You have to narrow your expectations based on the laws and the rules. And then once you do that, think about the things that you really love to drink in general. I happen to love a Bordeaux, a Cabernet Sauvignon from California or a Bordeaux, let's just say,
Mm-hmm.
So I will often try to pattern the menu against what either I or my clients like to drink, which I know sounds counterintuitive, but because so much of what you're doing is about good wine at a celebration for example, if you may choose to do a short ribs because you want to serve a fabulous red wine, something like that, and then go shopping to the retailers and ask in places that have great reputations, Sherry Lehman, or for a bottle, just one bottle of things that you're thinking. Say, I'm serving this, what would you suggest? And then figure out, based on what you've decided to spend per bottle, what is the best quality wine you can afford within your budget. There's no reason to serve stupid expensive wine at a party for 300 people because half the people are not going to get it. Right. Or is it a wedding for 60 or 50? It's, in my opinion, it's absolutely worth it because every single person there will have the opportunity to actually taste and figure out what's going on. And even if they don't, you can explain it without being pedantic. And that is part of the entire experience.
Yeah, no, that's a great answer and totally makes sense. So I think
that never happens.
I think it probably happens all the time. But there's so many decisions. It's like the wine is one piece of the puzzle.
No, when we look at it, when we wrote Weddings for Dummies, we did it at the beginning because people used to say, I want a budget spreadsheet. And I'd say, they wanted a pie chart. I was like, there's 4,000 pieces of this pie. You can't do a pie chart. So finally I said, I'm going to put together a list of every single thing that's going to go into it, let's say a wedding, for example. And the list in Weddings for Dummies, I think, is 6 pages long, and that's when people start going, oh, okay, I get it. Because everything from the Diptyque candle in the bathroom to the vendor meals for the photographer. It's a gazillion things that go into this one pot.
So you can't look
at it that way.
So many decisions. But it's great you wrote that book, and you have two, right? The wedding planning
for Dummies, and then Wedding Planning for Dummies, which was a little bit more towards the professional. I mean, everybody used it, but I wrote it when I was like, okay, that's enough now. I'm going to tell you how many square feet for dance floor and this and that. I can't take anymore.
It's good. You know. It's good. Mm-hmm. So what advice would you give to someone who wants to get into event planning and do what you do?
Run in the other direction. I think there's no substitute, not to sound cliche, there's no substitute for having a really good understanding of at least one aspect of this. I mean, when I look at my colleagues who I really respect, who are brilliant at it, someone like David Stark came out of RISD. He was an amazing artist. And then he learned how to turn that into parties, and then he learned and got a team together who know how to plan. I came out of the food part of it, let's say food and theater. Another colleague of mine came out of interior design. I mean, there's a lot of different places to come out of, but you can't just wake up one day and say, okay, I want to plan parties. Because you have, it's even though there is no professional, let's say, bar, it's not being a lawyer or something, you really do have to know a lot. And every single day, I turn around, it's like, oh, I can't believe I just learned that 30 years into it. That's pretty pathetic. But every day I learn something, every single day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you have great experience in having some experience in the industry. I mean, the examples you gave are great because they're all from a little different backgrounds, but it is having some know-how of what you're getting into.
If I walk into a kitchen in Italy or whatever, if I can't speak the language, I'll go like, listen, CIA graduate, I'm not a housewife, I'm not in here just going, can't you make risotto for 3,000 people? I was like, I get it. I'm not going to ask you what I don't think is producible, but I've been in the back of the house. I've spent my life in the back of the house in operations. I'm not some dilettante walking in and going, well, I think we should do this. I get it. So I want you to know I'm on your side. We're just trying to collaborate here. And that makes a big difference. And unless you have one of these facets, unless you come out of there, I really would not do it. I wouldn't do it just because, as happens all the time, either you had so much fun planning your wedding, you decided to be a wedding planner, or, you went to a great party and said, oh, I could do that. It's really, because it's not easy, and you're going to be really dejected before you know it without some good, solid knowledge under your belt.
Yeah, I think also, you've been doing this a long time, but you make it look easy. You're so great at it that other people probably, it probably turns people on to, like, I want it, they're not realizing all the challenges.
It's very kind of you to say. It looks glamorous. It is so not glamorous. I mean, 10% of it is glamorous when I get to put on a pair of, fabulous heels and dress and, get my makeup done and go out on the floor, when the party is starting. But before that, when I was underneath a table trying to staple a cloth that ripped or try to get a stain out of a bride's dress or just trying, to be able to get my shoes on because my feet are so swollen from, having run up and down stairs for 3 hours. It's not.
I get it. Yeah. I totally get it. It's not glamorous, but it's still, it looks glamorous.
But it looks very, very awesome.
But you're right. No, that's true. So, great. Okay, we're going to take another break, so don't go anywhere. We're going to come back, and we're going to play my speed round game and talk some industry news. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. Okay, we're back. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Sherry Bayer. My guest today is Marcy Bloom. It's time for my speed round game. So, Marcy, what this is I'm going to give you some choices. It's an either-or situation, and you just pick your preference. Are you ready?
Okay. I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. Eat in or eat out?
Out.
You say that with a sigh. Okay.
Yeah.
Wine, beer, cocktail, or mocktail?
Oh, cocktail or wine. No, wine.
Yeah. How about tasting menu or a la carte?
Depends on the chef, but if it's really someone fabulous, tasting menu.
Okay. Good reasoning.
Yeah.
Small plates or large plates?
Small plate.
Communal table or chef's counter?
What was the question? Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Communal table or chef's counter?
Chef's counter.
How about tipping or all-inclusive charge?
Tipping. I still don't get it, even though I'm a huge fan of Danny Meyer, and I believe in incentivizing people.
Yeah. I get it. How about indoor or outdoor weddings?
Well, if it were in California, if it's guaranteed no rain, definitely outdoor. I mean, there's nothing more charming and sexy and exciting. It's just the dealing with it 3 weeks and before. Any more of these I can take, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's one thing I always look at, that why so many people plan outdoor weddings with the, you don't have any control, but okay, so in California.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
California or Italy.
How about planning celebrity events or non-celebrity events?
A little of both. I mean, most of my favorite clients that people I've become very close with are certainly not celebrities. We've become good friends, but a couple of celebrity events are fun. I mean, it's fun to see Jay-Z on the dance floor. So that's fun.
I imagine that is fun.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, two more. Cheese plate or dessert?
Cheese plate, no comparison.
Manhattan or Brooklyn?
Mm-hmm.
The last one's Manhattan or Brooklyn?
Well, I live in Brooklyn. My office is in Manhattan, and there you have it.
Okay, it's a tie.
Yep, exactly.
And that's the game. So
that's a good game.
Thanks. Good answers.
So
industry news this week, I just picked an article in the New York Times. It was big news.
I know. I can't believe it.
So let people know. So Food and Wine Magazine will leave New York for Alabama was the headline. It was by Stephanie Strom. And so this is talking how Food and Wine Magazine has decided to move their headquarters down to Birmingham, Alabama, where Time Inc. also has Cooking Light and Southern Living. And Hunter Lewis, who was the editor of Cooking Light, is becoming Food & Wine's new editor-in-chief. And so Nilu Motamed is not going to be going down with them. And she's leaving the company after being the editor-in-chief for a little over a year since Dana Cowan left. So it was just it's huge news.
Huge. I mean, Nilu is a friend of mine. We all live. I met Nilu through Gail Simmons, who's a dear friend of mine, whose wedding I worked on, and we all live near each other in the hood in Carroll Gardens.
Yeah,
Nilu's been very kind to me, and she's also, she's brilliant and a fabulous editor. I don't really understand any of this. What's going on? It's quite an upheaval.
Yeah, no, Nilu's great. They're all. I mean, I was thinking of her husband, Peter and Gail. I mean, it's nice you're a part of that whole community. I see sometimes online pictures of some friends gathering in the food world,
right.
and I know you're part of that. So, but I don't know. I mean, I think the decision was to cut costs. I think I've heard from reading from some other articles that there will still be a New York City present. Some people are staying, like Ray Isle, who does their wine, and Justin Chappell, who's the culinary deputy test kitchen editor. Right. And so they're still going to be in New York, a presence, but the main headquarters is going down there. Apparently, they have a fabulous test kitchen and a wonderful facility. But I don't know. It's been New York, you know, it's been New York since it was founded in 1978. So,
well, I remember I was friends with the Batterberries in another life, who originally founded it as an American Express publication.
Yes, and I did an internship at Food Arts Magazine.
Back, oh my God,
that was like my foot in the door in the industry back in 1999. Yeah. So,
wow,
yeah, Batterberries. Amazing. They founded it. And it's, I mean, everyone, I mean, it's Food and Wine Magazine. Like, what's there not to love about it? So, I don't know. We'll see what happens with this change.
And I don't
what
know
it means.
How it will affect, you know, Gail and those people who are, you know, quote unquote special projects, which is part of Top Chef. I don't know. It's very interesting. I haven't had a chance to call her, but I'm going to do it today. And I don't know, what Nilu always comes up with something fascinating to do. So I'm sure her next chapter will be even more interesting. It's just, it was so quick.
It was. And Aspen, the Food and Wine Classic was just last week. I wasn't there this year, but
I couldn't go this year either. I was in Nigeria giving a speech.
That's a fantastic excuse.
Yeah, awesome.
You taught me. We'll see what happens. I mean, I don't know. It's just, it was a big announcement. So, I wish everyone the best.
Yes, I feel the same way. And we'll have to come over to our hood and we'll all have drinks and dinner.
I would love that.
So hip. I mean, you're just in Park Slope, aren't you? Yeah.
I live in Manhattan. I mean, here in the studio, we're in Bushwick. But I love Carroll Gardens. I remember many years ago, I had a client out there. It was like the first time I went out there and I was like, this is lovely. I see why people move here.
Yeah, no, it's fabulous. It's fabulous. And I got there just in time because I couldn't afford it now, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, I don't know what rents are, but I know it has become popular. Another thing I just saw, like, on my way here, announcement that Susan Ungaro is stepping down as the president of the James Beard Foundation, which...
Wow.
Yeah, another
that's
big news.
Big news. Woo! So who's taking over?
Well, the article just said that she's going to stay in the position till the end of the year, and that they're doing a national search for the next leader. She's been there 11 years, so time will tell. But she's done an amazing job, and I wish her the best. But I don't know, 11 years, so I think that's a long time, I guess, to
sure
lead
is.
That ship.
It sure is, really. Wow. Wow.
So.
Okay.
So those are the news. Before I take one more break, I just want to give everyone a little reminder. There's the Nihon Ryohi Academy has their Japanese cooking competition for professional chefs. That is the last day to enter is June 30th. So it's 2 days from now. And so anyone who wants to enter, please go to culinary/academy.jp. And, the other news I had was it is our summer drive here on Heritage Radio Network. As you may know, this show is only possible thanks to our member donations. We would literally not be here and able to reach you every week without the generosity of HRN members around the world. So now is your chance to become an HRN summer, an HRN member. It's through our summer membership drive. We're giving away, there's some summer swags as a part of it, limited edition stuff. So if you'd like to donate, and we would greatly appreciate it, you can go to heritageradionetwork.org/donate. And thank you very much for your support. Now,
take one. I will do that.
All right, awesome. And one more break, and then we're going to come back and do my solo dining experience. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. Welcome back to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Sherry Bayer. It's time for my solo dining experience. This week, it's at Heartwood at Chef's Club. Here's the rundown. The location, 275 Mulberry Street, New York City. The concept, Tulum, Mexico's master chef of open fire cooking, brings his cuisine for two nights as guest chef at Chef's Club, offering an a la carte menu of five courses. Heartwood chef is Eric Werner. Chef's Club culinary director is Didier Elena, executive sous chef Chris Sijka, and executive chef Matt Ayeta, and the curator is Aaron Aresby. So why did I go? Because it was a fabulous opportunity to have Eric's cooking in New York City and see my friends at Chef's Club. My experience. So I made a reservation for one. I was seated at the chef's counter along the side of the open kitchen. As I always say, it's the best seat in the house. I ordered from the a la carte menu, which had Heartwood Classics, and I received excellent service. I was also able to talk with Eric during my meal, that advantage of being at the chef's counter. So what did I get? So the chef had sent out a jicama salad with mint, crema, and prickly pear preserves, and fish head stew, and I ordered the avocado leaf short ribs with serrano chili, creamed corn, queso fresco, and pickled onions. And for dessert, I had the Yucatan chocolate habanero cake that had avocado buttercream, burnt canela ice cream, and I also had a coffee. My take, everything was delicious. Highlights were the jicama salad, which was light and crunchy and very flavorful with the preserves, and the short ribs, which were just succulent and paired beautifully with the creamed corn, and had a bit of heat from the chili, which was I enjoyed. The ambiance. It's a gorgeous modern setting with warmth, perfect for passionate food lovers with the desire to try restaurants from around the world. Interesting tidbit. Chef Werner has helped make the Mayan jungles of Tulum one of the most popular travel destinations in the world. He is originally from upstate New York. He studied at the CIA. We have another CIA-themed show here. And he spent years cooking with some of the best chefs in New York City, and he took a big bet to move to Tulum in 2010 with his wife to open Heartwood, and it has certainly paid off. Personal fun fact. So I visited Tulum in 2015, and it happened to be over Heartwood's seasonal break, so I missed dining there. So this being able to have his food in New York City was awesome and very special. The cost, $45. That's not including tax and gratuity, and I was sent out two dishes that I did not pay for, so please note that. Would I go back in NYC and Tulum? Yes, I would. Their websites are chefsclub.com and heartwoodtulum.com. So that's that. Marcy, have you been to Heartwood and or Chef's Club?
I have been to Chef's Club. I have not been to Heartwood, but you're just reminding me that I have not been to Chef's Club in quite a while, and you've reminded me that there is a counter, so I'm going to, because I often work late, and I can't be bothered to talking to anyone during dinner, but I want to eat well. So I could sit there by myself, have a glass of wine, and eat and just, you know, grumble to myself, which would be perfect.
Yeah, that's another thing why solo dining is beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good
so,
to know.
Yeah, well, great. It's time for the final question. So my next guest is going to be Kat Kinsman. She's the senior...
Oh, she's great.
You know who she is. Yeah, she is. She's amazing. She's the senior food and drinks editor at Extra Crispy. She also has a new book out called High Anxiety, Life with a Bad Case of Nerves. And she's also the founder of a website, Chefs with Issues. So, Marcy, what would you like to ask Kat?
Wow. Okay, let me think for a moment. She's hilariously funny. So I have to. I remember one at the Food and Wine Festival in Aspen. We wound up hanging out a weekend together. We had a really great time. Let me think. You know, okay, here's what I'm going to ask because I know how attuned she is to everything. How she thinks this, here you go, this horrendous political atmosphere is affecting the food world in general.
Wow, serious question. It's a great question.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm. She's a smart lady, and I'm sure she's going to have a lot of insight on that. So, I will ask.
Please do.
Yeah, and that's the show. So thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you. This is great fun. Next time at Roberta's.
Next time at Roberta's. Yeah. And I'm in awe of your career and everything you do. Oh, so congratulations on all your success.
Thanks.
You're very welcome.
And we'll get to be together in person soon.
Yes. I would love that.
Okay.
So just to wrap up, my guest today has been Marcy Bloom. She's of Marcy Bloom Associates. You can find her at marcybloom.com and at Marcy Bloom. And just so people know, her last name is spelled B-L-U-M. So you can find her. You can find me at Sherry Bayer, at Bayer PR, at All Industry. My Facebook page is All in the Industry. My websites are BayerPublicRelations.com and SherryBayer.com. All of our shows are archived at heritageradionetwork.org. We are also on iTunes and Stitcher. So next week, July 5th, is going to be my special broadcast show with the interview I did with the CIA president, Dr. Tim Ryan. So please tune in then. And then on July 12th, the next week, Wednesday, 4 o'clock, I will have on Kat Kinsman. So I hope you tune in then too. I hope everyone has a wonderful fourth weekend. Thanks again to Marcy and to my fabulous engineer, Vitor. I'm Sherry Bayer. I will be back in 2 weeks with Kat Kinsman. Till then, have a good one, and thank you for being part of All in the Industry. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.